get united. We're gonna give the boys a hand.
Welcome to the official Leeds United podcast with me, Emma Jones, Matt Lewis and Jermaine Beckford. How are we doing, boys?
Fantastico!
Oh!
That gave me a burst of energy, that. I was a little low and now Bex has just got me up.
I think it woke you up, that, if anything. How are you both? Anything of note to share with the group?
No, not really. I had a successful trip to Stuart, Dallas, Texas, and met up with the Dallas Supporters Club, Leeds United guys who were out there.
Yeah, you sent the photo in the Leeds United podcast group. They looked like a lovely bunch.
Yeah, they were really sound. There was a bunch of guys in there, and I think a few had travelled quite a way to be at the thing. It's America, so everyone travels everywhere, but they drive like over an hour to get to this pub to watch the games. But it was good. I had it on the big screen, and free whiskey for the Leeds fans. So yeah, it was all right.
I can't complain too much.
I'm not going to say that everyone who goes to this pub will get free whiskey if they say they're a Leeds fan. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, you've just thrown them right under the bus there, haven't you, Matt?
But I should say it was the Londoner in a place called Addison, which is just in northern Dallas. And it was really great. And the Leeds fans there are very welcoming. So cheers, guys.
Do you have to say that to get free whiskey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was part of the deal. Sorry, I just have to say this.
Bex, what have you been up to, love?
I've been up to all sorts. Recovering mainly from that Three Peaks. Yep, it was a fortnight ago. Yes, you're correct. But it hurt a lot.
You're getting on now though, aren't you, Bex? So it's a struggle.
Yeah, you're catching me. Don't you be cheeky.
Are you deciding you'll never do that again? Is it too much?
That one was tough. I'm not going to lie to you. That was tough. I'm not going to jump into it, if I'm honest. But listen, for charity, I'll give anything a go. I'll give anything a go. So, as long as it raises the awareness and raises some well-needed funds for whatever charity it is, then I'm quite open to it.
So send all of your charity requests in and Jermaine will do them all.
And Emma and I will do them all, yes. Emma could get, she's been practicing on the bike.
Yes, I have. I was going to say, are either of you going to tell or ask what I've been up to so I can have my moment?
Go on then. What have you been up to, Em?
I've just done 18 miles on my bike.
Today?
Yeah, this morning. But halfway around, at 9 miles, I had a Victoria sponge and nearly threw up for the other 9 miles. But hats off to me, 18 miles when I don't really go out on my bike. I think that's quite good, but you two don't look very impressed.
No. That's exceptional. That's a good distance.
Really
that.
Good. How long did it take you in the end?
It took me 2 hours.
That's pretty good going.
I think it is, yeah.
Well done, Em. I'm proud of you.
I've got no frame of reference, but it sounds really impressive.
Thank you.
I don't cycle very often, but it sounds impressive.
The only thing I can compare it to is Johnny Brownlee, and I think he does it in about half an hour.
And he'd have eaten the full sponge as well, not just a slice of it.
But I don't think that's a fair representation. So, Em, I think hats off to you. Well played.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, boys. Right, I've got to just flag that we're recording this episode ahead of the cup game against Fulham. So whatever happened on Tuesday, we're either absolutely buzzing about that or totally livid. We have got an action-packed show for you this week. The boys are going to be outnumbered because we're soon going to be joined by Leeds United Women's Abby Brown and Paige Williams. But first, big development this week, boys. Did you see Pat's interview where he said he'd been asked to go on ITV's Love Island? did you see it?
No, but I'm going to have a look now.
Can you imagine Patrick Bamford on Love Island?
No.
I've got to say, because I'm a granddad, I don't... What is the premise of the show Love Island?
Love Island is a lot of... stereotypically good-looking people congregating on an island.
What are they asking Pat for then?
You beat me to it.
They match with people to find love.
Okay.
But you know how, like, we know Pat, and I just feel like I can't really imagine his character on that kind of show, because you have to be quite sort of...
vain out there?
Not necessarily. You have to really, put yourself out there a lot. And I feel like that wouldn't necessarily... be up Pat Street.
He's got many skills. He has all kinds of skills that he could talk about.
Hey, he could walk in there with a ukulele. Ding, 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 ding.
Do you not find the violin attractive, Emma?
I'm saying nothing.
I heard he plays the harp.
Have you pair ever been asked to do a TV show?
I've been asked to do a few, yeah.
Well, go on, what?
Oh, you mean reality TV?
Yeah. Not Harry Potter.
I get sort of tapped up to see if I'm interested in doing a few of them, like I'm a Celebrity and Strictly Come Dancing and that, but it's not really my jam at all.
No?
You don't fancy yourself in the jungle?
God, no. Absolutely not.
Why?
You don't want to eat kangaroos' testicles and eyeballs and stuff like that?
Yeah, I can't imagine why I'm not into that. no, I just... I got to be honest with you. I despise reality TV.
Really?
Oh, interesting. For what reason?
I had to be careful now.
Basically... Bex, we know that if Matt ever ends up on a reality TV show, he's really strapped for cash.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm doing this podcast, guys. Jeez. Bex, you must have been asked on a few.
Yeah.
I haven't. I'd love to give Come Down With Me a go. I'm pretty decent in the kitchen. I don't like cooking very often. My missus is a much better cook than I am. But when I do have a go, like last night, I made one of the most amazing curries you've ever tasted in your life.
What was it?
The thing is, because my household is vegan, it's slightly different to what maybe Matthew's household would be like. So it was chickpea, it was courgette, and a load of spices and flavorings and coconut milks. And oh, honestly.
It's more of a Caribbean curry.
Genuinely outrageous.
Bex, if you were on Come Down With Me, what would you cook though? What would you make?
Probably that curry I made last night.
Yeah, you'd have to have a starter and a dessert as well.
Yeah, no, we don't mess around with those. We just go straight in hardcore.
Just three courses of curry.
Yeah.
Main dish.
For starter, it's curry. Main course, we've got another curry with a side of curry. And for dessert, we've got...
And a vegan cheesecake from Marks and Spencer's.
We should do it. We said we were going to do it because there's four of us.
Let's do
and
it.
And we said that we should do, when I'm back in the UK, we should do it.
Yeah, when you come over to your mum and dad's house, don't hide from me. Again.
We'll do it. I'll give my mum and dad like 20 quid, go to cinema, and we'll do the come down with me.
20 quid? 20 quid ain't getting you far in the cinema,
mate. How much is the cinema these days? I have no idea. I told you I'm a granddad. I don't know. I don't go anywhere.
He's talking about times in the 90s, mate.
20 quid for the pick and mix alone, that.
Well, that's You're what they used wrong. To give me, you see, when I used to go to cinema. I don't know.
The thing is, though, lads, I feel like if we did Come Down With Me, Pat would just win because he'd just get like really fancy food and overshadow us all. Do you remember his Easter egg was like an M&S marble ensemble that was all very fancy?
Did he buy that though, or was it a gift? I can't remember.
Yeah, but he'd buy the best ingredients, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but you still have to be able to put them together.
You had to knock it together.
Yeah, he'd probably also employ a chef, wouldn't he, and do it behind
the
scenes.
He'd get catered, wouldn't he?
They have done that.
Yeah, but surely they have to cook it in front of our faces, surely. That's the whole
point. That might be a bit
point.
Of a distraction if we're all hanging around the hob staring at him.
What if there's no trust? What if we have to?
we are getting deep now, Bex.
Look at Matty. He's like, my plan is going out the window very quickly.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely not winning this.
Right, well, I can hear Come Down With Me knocking already, Bex. Don't you worry. I tell you what, last week, what's that, Pat? That we decided we were going to be doing, where we were, because Pat is so intelligent, we were going to get your questions and put them to him. That has gone insane. We have had so many questions coming in. As soon as he's back with us, we're going to put them to him, and I'm sure he'll be able to answer them all correctly.
There's some gems there as well.
I can't wait. He doesn't have any idea what he's in for, does he, boys?
No.
Before we get cracking with the girls on, let's talk about that result against Newcastle, because I think we would have liked more than a point. But how are we feeling, boys, a few days after reflecting on that?
Still disappointed. Ooh. We absolutely battered them, and we should have put the game to bed early doors. First half, I was surprised we didn't go in 3, 4, 5 goals up, to be honest with you. I was at St. James's Park watching it firsthand and seeing how much of a mess they were defensively. Newcastle were defensively. As soon as we scored that first goal, every single one of their players' heads dropped, and they didn't want to be there at all. 50,000 fans were in there, and it was an incredible atmosphere from both, obviously, our fans, which we know how great our fans are, and the Newcastle fans, who are super passionate as well. just listening to them getting on top of Steve Bruce's head and on top of the players' backs as well was a moment where we should have absolutely capitalized on, and it just felt like it was a huge moment and a huge opportunity lost for us, you know. And it still hurts. If I'm brutally honest, it still hurts.
I think that's absolutely right. It was there for the taking, and that first half especially, we looked like the Leeds team that we know and recognize and have been wanting to see for a few weeks now. And we had them against the ropes, and through again some of the things that have sort of dogged us in the past, we just weren't quite clinical enough to like as Beck says to put the game to bed. But we created more than enough to take 3 points and then some from that game. And I think that's why it still irks the pair of us. Even now, no days later, because it's, you look at that and it should have been 3 points. Second half, you know, it was a game of two halves, as they say. The second half wasn't as strong. We were a bit sloppier in the second half. But I think there's a lot to be said. You know, our squad is very thin at the minute. We're struggling with injuries and all the rest of it. Players are trying to pull the shifts of multiple players, and that means that we're getting some tired legs. So I don't really mind the fact that the second half wasn't the complete article as the first half was. But yeah, I just think that we need to just be taking our chances much, much better, just like we did last season. I thought we were clinical last year in some of the games that we played, and we just need to get that cutting edge in front of goal back, because we certainly created enough. And if we play like that first half going forward, but find some more of those final third balls and a bit, it's not even clinical, I keep saying that, but it's more a bit more composure in front of goal, then I think we're going to be fine. But yeah, that's going to annoy me until we put three or four past another team.
And well, Pat came out as well after the game, and he said himself, you know, it was in terms of performance, it was an improvement, but obviously it wasn't the 3 points that we wanted. Now, Cup game is tonight, because we're recording this on the Tuesday ahead of that. Against West Ham, I mean, it's not going to be the easiest fixture, is it?
No.
It won't. Tough team.
David Moyes gets his team defensively sound. He's got players in there that are big, they're strong, but they're technically very clever as well, very good on the ball. So it's going to be difficult. Obviously, they finished really, really well last season, the back end of last season. And listen, they've given David Moyes free rein almost to bring in whichever players they wanted. Obviously, the Jesse Lingard signing didn't quite work out. Obviously, that's one that would have worked absolute wonders for them. But, you know, they've got so many creative players that work really hard. Mikel Antonio up front, I'm not sure what the deal is with him, whether he's going to be fit or whether he's struggling for injury or suspension or whatnot. I can't remember off the top of my head, if I'm honest. He's always a threat as well. So, you know, they've got more than enough in their arsenal to trouble us. But if we're firing on all cylinders and we've got all of our players doing exactly as Bielsa tells them to do, which is something we know how good they are when they are doing it, I do genuinely think we'll come away with a victory. But it's not going to be an easy one, and it's going to, you know, we're going to come out of it with cuts and bruises.
I mean, following on from what we were just saying about the Newcastle game, they're very good at sort of nullifying what we do. We saw that last season over both games. They made it very difficult for us to get up to speed. They're quite good at breaking up our play, particularly in midfield. And so if we do, you know, the chances we get, we've just got to put them away, because I don't think we're going to get many. So we just have to be a bit more assured in front of goal. But I don't think they're going to be smarting after their defeat at the weekend. They'll be wanting a response, but so should we. You know, none of those Leeds players are going to be happy with drawing 1-1 against Newcastle. So I think it's going to be two teams looking to bounce back, and it'll be a good game. We've just got to play to our absolute best. If we can play like that first half against Newcastle, but just have that bit more composure, there's no reason we can't get a win.
Naturally, lads, and it happens with every single fan base, if at the start of the season you go on a run of not getting a win, people start to get worried or concerned. And we heard from Patrick last week saying the feeling in the dressing room hasn't changed. There's a lot of optimism. You know, they believe that everything's going to be all right. I just want to get your thoughts on that. How comfortable or otherwise are you both feeling at this stage?
Well, I mean, as a Leeds fan, I'm never comfortable. I wasn't comfortable last year and we finished ninth place, you know what I mean? I can understand, obviously, you know, we've not got a win, and that's something that you can't ignore, that zero in the W column. But I know that a performance is there. I can see it's just not quite come together yet, but I can see it there. And you know, again, I'm throwing out all the cliches, but you don't become a bad team overnight. So they're gonna find it. And I just think we're just going through a very unfortunate period as well. Like defensively, we looked very frail against Newcastle when they came on the attack. But look, we've got Llorente's out. Strike's got suspended. There's issues that we have that have kind of been. Cox injured. There's issues that have been out of our control, really. You know, I think there's a few illnesses going around the team as well at the minute, and it's just eventually these things are going to come together, and when they do, this squad has enough in it and enough mentally to get out of where they are right now. And it's not even a bad place. It's not as if we've played five, lost five. We've only lost two of them. Like, so, you know, yes, would we like to be winning more? Or at least one, yeah, of course we would. But I don't think it's alarm bells yet when you look at the mitigating circumstances of what's happened.
Thank you, boys. Right then, I'm delighted to say that joining us on the official Leeds United podcast are Leeds United women wingers. You try saying that, it's a bit of a tongue twister. Abby Brown and Paige Williams. Girls, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having us.
No worries, absolute pleasure.
Yeah, round of applause. Thank you, Bex, for leading that. Abby, before we get started, I just want to say it is brilliant to have someone so successful from Horsforth on the podcast, isn't it, Matt?
Right. Okay. Right. Now, I take umbrage at that because 2 weeks ago we had Johnny Brownlee on the show, so I don't know what that's about. Just ignored him completely.
I'm sure he'll send another voice note in to address that and you'll get embarrassed. Yeah. Girls, before we crack on, how are you both? Are you okay?
I'm doing really well, yeah.
Yeah, I've been good. Been a bit ill all week, so excuse my voice, but hopefully I'll get there.
Is it COVID?
No, it's not, actually. It's not, shockingly, but on the mend anyway.
I feel like we have to ask that when anyone says I'm ill.
No, I know, yeah.
Let's talk about the start to the season for you girls. It's been a great start. You've both got to be pretty happy with that so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, only one loss. So, I mean, obviously we'd like to win every single game, but it was good to get that last win against Liverpool.
Yeah, I loved it because they were my old team as well. So it was kind of like first one since I've left them to get a win. When Abby came on and scored, it was unreal. Like, the scenes was good when it abs.
What was that like for you, Paige, going back?
I was nervous. Like, I think now I've got it out the way, next time we play them, I think I'll be a bit more myself. But kind of had a bit of a big point to prove for myself personally. And obviously winning proved that anyway. So it was good, but I'm excited to play them again now. I feel like I'm a bit more relaxed about the whole situation, so we'll see.
So talk me through a regular week in terms of what you guys do, preparing for training and your regular, you know, regular days, whether you've got day jobs or university or whatnot.
Well, we train twice a week, so Tuesday, Thursday evenings, and it's not just like a nice time of like 7 till 9, it's 8 till 10. And then obviously, like we say, we're travelling like sometimes like over an hour to get there, me and Paige and some other people on the team as well. So you're not getting back till like really late. And then some of my shifts start at 5:15 a.m. So I've got to get up like super early. So yeah, it's to be fair, there's closer clubs that I could play for, but I want to play for Leeds United because it's my home team and it means something to me. So I don't mind doing all that.
Abby, I think it's like, it's remarkable that you do that. You're that dedicated that you juggle sort of, I mean, university education, your full-time jobs with playing for Leeds United. How do you find that? How do you manage that balance in life?
It's not too bad for myself because I've sort of got like a part-time job and then do personal training on the side. So it's not like I'm working like a ton of hours. I don't have a full-time job, but it's just, you just get used to it. And the fact, like I said, it's, it's worth it because it's for Leeds, and obviously if we get promoted and we get into the higher leagues that we want to be in, like, it's, I think it'll just give us, like, even that more motivation to carry on and just keep pushing.
And your dedication has been recognised as well. You were named Women's Player of the Year last season. That must have been a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, it was nice to win that award, even though it was a bit of a strange season because we only managed to play like a few games. But it was nice to get recognised for what I was doing, and then hopefully, you know, I can carry that on into this season.
I'm curious in terms of, so you said you got a part-time job, and obviously, Paige, you're at university. What takes, so priority is kind of the word I'm after, but in terms of like your lecturers and your boss, like if you suddenly you get picked for a game that you maybe weren't expecting to play in, or maybe a game gets moved, like are the people in the other half of your life, like, are they aware that this is a big deal? Like, you're playing for Leeds United here, and that might take priority over work or uni or whatever.
Yeah, I think so. I think it depends on luck of the draw, really, because I'm quite fortunate where I work nights. So, like Abby was saying, when she gets up early and things, we've kind of got the same kind of lifestyle, if that makes sense. And I said, as soon as I started this, like my little part-time job, I said, I picked nights specifically so I could make sure that I wasn't, because I have to leave quite early to get to training. I was making sure that, like, I'm not overlapping anything. So it's kind of like take off my own part. But I said to them as well, like, I can't work certain days. So I can literally only work 2 days a week, because they're the only 2 days where I'm not getting in too late from football. So then I don't have to go straight to work. So I've got like sleep and things. So I think it is depends on like the luck of the draw. Because I know like some bosses won't be understanding, and luckily mine are. I'm starting my master's in October. So I haven't actually played football for Leeds and travelling and yet until then. So it depends how I manage it. But I feel like with lecturers, it's a bit of a different story, if that makes sense. Because we don't on like a full time salary, so we can't just live off whatever we get. So we've kind of got to prioritise them, because that's kind of like where we're going to get our income in the future.
That's amazing commitment, I've got to say, honestly.
Abby, you mentioned that you're a personal trainer as well. Do you find that actually helps you in terms of a skill with the other girls, with the other women on the team?
Not really, no. It's not like...
I like your honesty.
Is Paige not... Is she not asking you advice on what to eat and how to...
I mean, obviously, yeah, I don't know. I guess so. It's not like I'm... Obviously, I go to the gym by myself. It's not as when I'm PTing, it's not like I'm sort of taking like my coaching styles from that into like how I speak to my friends at football, I guess.
Do you find that your own passion for that, though, and your own sort of the knowledge that you have helps you with your playing career?
Yeah, definitely. Like the training that I've done in the gym over the past sort of like 5-6 years, even before I played for Leeds, before I went to America and stuff, like, I was always training to be better at football. I wasn't training to like get bigger muscles, to look better, to like attract more people, or to fit in with my friends. I was training because I wanted to sprint faster, like jump higher. I was training to be a better football player, and my training's always been about that. So like, that's why I think I'm quite like an agile and fast player now, because I've trained for it for like years on end now.
And you just touched on your time in the US. You've also played in Portugal and Israel, is that right?
Yeah, I've played there as well, yeah.
How did you find that experience? Because it's obviously going to be completely different to the game in the UK.
Yeah, America was completely different in the fact that I think that they definitely prioritised everything else as well as football, like the nutrition, the sleeping, the eating meals together before and after the games, recovery. So we had like ice baths, hot tubs, like everything was really, really professional over there. And I think that's how it is in like the college system in America. Like they'll invest a lot of time and money into it. And even like the smaller universities have got amazing facilities. And that's why I went there to progress. I thought it'd be like the perfect place to progress as a player, and it was. And then obviously like Israel and Portugal. Portugal was very technical. Like they might not have been as fit as the Americans, but they had the players that could like dribble past people and, you know, play that final pass that you needed and stuff. So there is different sort of styles of play, but I think that the ones I prefer the most is either England or America.
You talked about the how much there was in the back room in America in terms of nutrition and fitness and all that kind of thing. What's it like with Leeds United? How much, you know, we hear the stories of Bielsa sort of being very hands-on, finding out, you know, body weights and body fat percentages and making sure the players only eat exactly what they're given and all this kind of stuff. What is that with you? I mean, do you guys have nutrition planned for by the club? Do you have weight regimes planned by the club, or are you guys looking after that yourselves?
No, we haven't. I've been given things from my manager because I've asked for them, but we have mentioned that we are like pushing forward more nutritional advice. Nothing's been completely sorted out yet, but I do think it will be something that will be coming up next, if that makes sense. But I think he just trusts in ourselves that we're all quite like an active squad anyway. So a lot of the girls eat well, but I suppose it's on our own backs at the end of the day. If we eat rubbish, then it's just going to affect ourselves.
Well, you're leading the line really, Paige, because I believe your favourite meal is Bovril on toast. Oh. So is that like a staple? Is that the secret to your success?
Oh my God. Somebody talk to me about it. What is this? Bovril on toast?
Don't repeat that to ever yet. No, it's the truth. It's honestly... It's a good, don't knock it.
As a nutritionist, Abby, what are we saying?
I'm not even going to take part in this conversation. I don't know what Bovril is.
No, it's actually good. I think that's why I'm never ill. I know I was ill last week. I'm never ill, I think, because I've just been food and spent that since I was a baby.
Did you miss your Bovril on toast last week? Is that why you got sick?
It's the only thing I can eat, to be honest. So it's done its job.
Well, there we go, guys. You learn something new every day. If you don't want to get ill, Bovril on toast. Paige Williams, you heard it here first. Let's talk about the women's game, girls, because it, on its own, as a standalone game, it has made massive strides. We've seen it broadcast thanks to the BBC, Sky Sports. It's getting a lot more notoriety, and deservedly so. Where would you like to see the game go?
Even bigger. I watch a lot of women's football, to be fair. I love it. Absolutely love it. I do, like, with the WSL, I don't know if it's being shown now, but it's quite disappointing that the Championship still only shows, like, one game, and it's not on... It's on, like, FA Player, and I just think... It's gone a long way, but it's still got a long way to go. I feel like if it's broadcasted more, it'll only bring more people in. But I suppose it's just a process, isn't it? And it's like you said, like it is being shown on a lot of screens now, especially like all the WSL games and things. So that's a positive.
Abby, are you of a similar opinion? Do you think there is always room for more improvement, more exposure for the women's game?
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's always areas that can be improved on, but at the same time, like, we've got to appreciate how far it's come, and then just keep progressing on that. Because you know, before, like, not many people showing up to games. Like, there was only a few people on the big teams on professional contracts, stuff like that. Like, it's obviously improved loads, and it's a much better setup. And like you said, there's the two professional leagues now. And if you're a footballer, that's obviously what you want to get to. You want to get into those two leagues. But then if you go below that, like where the third and the fourth division, I think that like still is just sort of like overlooked a little bit.
We're quite lucky though, aren't we, though? Because like we said before, like we've got live streams on every home game, and we've already seen how much exposure it's done for us as players.
In our league, like, we've probably got the best backing out of any team. And that's why, like, if we got promoted to the league above, like, we'd have no problem because we'd be right up there with those teams that have already got that backing as well.
I feel like we've even got a big backing compared to some teams in the league above. But that's just down to the fact that it's like a one club basis. I think it depends on if you've got your club backing you, that's, you can't go wrong. But a lot of teams don't have that. So that's where we're quite fortunate. But the fan base on home games, because of live streams and because of Twitter and media coverage from like the men's side, like the one club, we've noticed like numbers are increasing at games, and they've got little girls that are coming up to us and asking for a picture, and like we don't know what to do, but we just think, well, they watch us every week now, so it's like they're looking at us. They play for like the RTC Academy and things like that, and they're looking at us and thinking, I want to be there. And it's quite nice. It's a nice feeling.
That is genuinely lovely to hear. Sorry, Matt.
Is the US something that you guys are kind of looking at from that perspective, in terms of how women's soccer, as they call it over here, women's football over here in the United States? Because I've been to a few of the Orlando City games, and I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks I'm off to go watch the Orlando Pride. The women's team, but their crowds are crazy. They go for it just as much as they go for the men's teams. So I'm just curious if that's if you see US as kind of like the benchmark for where we want to try and get the game in the UK.
Yeah, like you see their stadiums and like you said, the packs, like it's crazy. And my personal theory is that in America, like football, so soccer, not American football, soccer, is seen as like a women's sport because the US women's team has been so successful and the men's national team is not as successful in football. Like a lot of girls get into it because of the success and it's seen as a women's sport. Whereas like in America, like the male sports are like basketball, American football, baseball. Like I think in England, it's seen as obviously still a man's sport. And I think that's why like, you know, you expect like a girl to go dance or play netball or whatever. I think that it's just like a gender difference, I think, here. Like in America, it's seen as a girl's sport.
I can tell you, I play in a co-ed, well, before I broke my leg, I play in a co-ed league. It's just a six-a-side thing. And by far and away, the girls over here are the best players in that league.
He broke his leg 6 years ago, though, girls. He just
yeah, I feel it feels like it. It feels like I did. Bloody hell. Yeah, I know. No, I went back to the doctors for my supposed to be my final X-ray 2 weeks ago. It's exactly the same because I've not been wearing the boot. I'm in big trouble. So I've got to wear it for 4 more weeks, no exceptions. I'm so annoyed. So I'm back in it. I'm back in the boot.
Could have made it pro.
When you're next over here, Matt, girls, how about you put that to the test, Matt? You play against the girls over here
and don't
see how you fare.
Would you be up for that? I'll break my other leg.
I think that's it. Bex, you can get involved as well once you've recovered from the three-peat challenge.
I'm buzzing off that.
How is it fair to have me try and keep up with three bloody professionals? Don't be ridiculous.
Hey, well, I'll join the girls' team to bring it down a level or two, if that makes you feel better.
You'll be off the pitch having a pee every 5 minutes. I'll be able to keep up with you.
I thought you were going to say a pint. I was like, that also.
Well, yeah, that and all. Pie and a pee.
Pie and a pee.
I'll be the gaffer.
I was going to say, you probably not one past him. You would say, I made it pro if I hadn't broke my leg.
That's it. I would have done.
I think Paige has summed you up there.
Yeah, I know.
It is. Do you know what, though, girls? It's great to hear you talk about the huge strides that is being made in the women's game. It's great to hear you talk about the fan base, the following. And I think that's a lot to do with Leeds United fans as a rule, extremely passionate, get on board and they root for their own. And it's amazing. And like you say, there's always room for improvement. And hopefully in our lifetime, in your playing career, we are going to see that. What do you two hope for from this season?
We both know what the answer is. Like we know we want to win the league. That's it. Simple as.
You don't want to jinx it.
No, I was waiting for Kate to say because I knew she was going to say the exact same thing.
No, I'm touching my table because I do think we've got a very good chance this season. Like we're quite, like with everything that's going on with like we said, like the support and stuff, and every start of the game we're in the huddle together and we all say the same thing. And it's we play for the badge and it's like we've got it in us, we've got the fire in us and we really, really want it. Like we found that from the last game we played, we were probably one of our strongest contenders to the league. We won because we had that fight and it was a last minute winner and it showed like we've got that edge because we want to play for the badge and it's like, it's exciting. It's exciting to see where we're going to go, to be honest. But I do think we've got a good chance and we all want the same thing. So that's the positive.
Your passion, girls, is infectious, by the way.
It is.
It's brilliant to hear how passionate you both are about it. You know, you mentioned as well that you're seeing more and more young girls come to the games and stuff like that, asking for photos. You're going to be an inspiration for a generation of young girls. What would you say to anyone who might be listening to this now and thinks, I want to be like them? What advice would you give them?
I'd personally say, like, just like the typical advice, like work hard. And if you get the opportunity to go play for a better team or to go to a different country or whatever, take it, because like it's cringe, but like you do only live once and you've got to take these opportunities because you don't know who you'll meet. You don't know, like, if always try to play your best because there might be a scout watching, you don't know, and you've just got to try and do your best every single time and something will come about. You've just got to believe as well.
Yeah. Also with that though, I feel like sometimes opportunities don't always work out the way you want. Like Abby mentioned, she went to America. I could have had the opportunity to go to America, but I had other, like people have financial worries or people, you know, other things come up in like away from football life, and it's like you can't go. And I was devastated, but it's actually worked out better for me now because other things have happened and there's more and more opportunities. So if something knocks you down or you can't do something and you think it's the end of the world, it's not, because something else will come up and other doors will open that way.
Girls, it's been incredible having you both on. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much for the first time ever on the official Leeds United podcast, outnumbering the boys. It has been a delight. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure, yeah.
That was absolutely fascinating. That was incredible. Thank you so much, guys.
It was brilliant. Abby, thank you so much. Paige, best of luck with your Masters. Best of luck to both of you. You are going to win the league this season. No pressure.
Please.
Best of luck to you both. Thank you for joining us on the official Leeds United podcast. That is all from us this week. Remember to keep your hashtag, what's that, Pat? Questions coming in. We are going to put those brain busters to him over the coming weeks when he decides he wants us back again. Cheers for that, boys. Thanks, girls. We'll see you next week.
We are so proud.